Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
As it's Thursday, we're concentrating on our Hours to Protect slot this week, which is an ongoing Ocean FM programming initiative, raising awareness of climate change and educating us all in how to make a difference. And we're doing a live slot this week because in studio with us is Dr. Aga Pivovarcek. I hope I've got that. It's close enough anyway, Dr. Aga, isn't that right? Good morning to you, and thank you for coming in with your bag of wares as well. And Aga's joined us this morning to talk about the importance of the microscopic life in our soils.
Yes.
Okay, so let's begin
with those 88 teaspoons.
Okay, you've got 8 plastic teaspoons with
you. Okay. And can you think of why I have 8 teaspoons in my hand?
Not unless you're going to make all the staff some coffee or tea afterwards.
Okay, right. So this is to show you that 8 teaspoons of a good healthy soil, right, contains more life, like living things or organisms, than all people currently living on Earth.
8 teaspoons?
8 teaspoons, physically 8 teaspoons.
And that's important. Why exactly?
Well, there's lots of life in it. So soils are often seen to be dead, right? Soils are often treated like dirt, okay?
Yeah.
Like our friends across the ocean, they often call soil dirt. And to some extent, I do agree, because we treat soil like dirt and we can make it dirt because we're killing life in the soil, okay? So the problem that I personally have is that when we speak about even biodiversity, lots of people can name tree types, species, or animals that dwell above ground, okay?
Yeah.
But if I ask an individual, can you please name animals dwelling in the soil? What would you say?
Dwelling in the soil.
Like, what type of organisms do you know personally that actually live in the soil?
All the time.
Yes.
So you're talking about worms. Is that earthworms?
Yeah, they're the most famous. And actually, I have a surprise for you, but that's about it later. So there's lots of bacteria. So like 1 teaspoon of living soil, not dirt, living soil, contains 1 billion bacteria cells, right?
Yeah.
And then we have good or bad. So they could be bad and good organism on the side note. But if the conditions are right, we're feeding the good guys, right? And the good guys help us to survive as human race, okay? So then there is fungus, then there is protozoa, then there is nematodes. So this life, it really helps to make soils alive and healthy. So the soils can function for us.
Yeah. So how does all this impact on climate change, the importance of our soils?
Well, I don't think we speak more much about the importance of soil in relation to climate, changing climate.
Mm.
I think soils are somehow being neglected. This is how I feel in respect to using them in our favor to combat the climate changes. Knowing that only 30 or 40% of European soils are of some good status, right? 60% of European soils are of poor quality, right? But given that, we still absorb, soils still absorb about 30% of carbon dioxide that is being emitted by human activities combined. So if we improve the soil health, right?
Yeah.
We could probably increase this number to 60%.
Yeah. So the use of chemicals in our soil. That's having a detrimental effect, is it?
Yeah, like the infamous herbicide, Roundup. I actually went surfing on Iski on a Sunday, last Sunday. The first thing in the morning when I saw was a person spraying Roundup near a water course, right?
Yeah.
So even though this chemical is a herbicide and is meant to kill plants, weeds, It does kill all the life with it.
Okay, so you weren't happy with that?
No,
before you
of
went
course
surfing.
Not. Oh no, because all this chemical then was leached and then ran off.
So is climate change having a detrimental effect on our soil and the structure of our soil, particularly, I suppose, the amount of rainfall?
Yes,
we're getting,
but you see, I think it's the other way around.
Yeah,
I think one of the effects that we, or the results that we're experiencing in relation to climate is of that soils are of poor quality, that we've been neglecting soils.
Okay.
This is the one of the reasons why we're experiencing what we're experiencing in the moment. So, for example, a healthy soil should act like a sponge.
Yeah.
In terms of water cycle. We need to remember that carbon is cycling in the system. It's not, there's cycling. So we can capture this carbon sequester in the soil if we if we manage the soils properly, right? And the moment we're more likely to release that carbon from the soil. The good thing about soil is that we can store that carbon very deep.
Yeah.
And protect it in the deeper horizons there in the soil.
Okay.
So at the moment, knowing that only 40% of soils in Europe doing okay-ish, right? We can still store about 1 ton of carbon per hectare per year.
Now, apart from plastic spoons, what else have you brought to the studio today?
I let you open this a surprise. I have a surprise for you, and here you have a magnifying glass.
Okay, so this is a matchbox, isn't that right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I have a big magic box for my...
Nothing's going to jump out now.
No, hopefully.
All right, okay.
Let's
so just open
inside.
This box.
Yes.
With the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and the aforementioned worms are inside.
So what? Yes, and there are special earthworms.
Yeah.
Can you identify them? What
no.
do you see?
They're just worms, as
well.
Yeah,
the worms, the earthworms. But then I gave you that magnifying glass for a reason. Do you see something that is quite specific on their skin?
Yeah, there's a different color end.
Yeah. They have stripes.
Yeah, they do.
They look. Yeah, they have stripes. So they are called tiger earthworms or tiger.
Okay.
Yeah, tiger earthworms.
Yeah, one of them has tiger stripes, type stripes at the end.
Yeah, he's not gonna bite you now.
Okay, that's all right.
So the reason I brought them in, well, there are two reasons why. The first reason is to explain that earthworms don't digest food as we think. Because, they turn this food waste, right? So I have a little bit of paper and eggshell and lemon and a little bit of cucumber peel, right? Into what I called... the black gold, right? But the misconception about the earthworms is that they help to decompose the organic matter.
Yeah.
But they can't digest the cellulose. They can't. They don't eat the plants themselves.
Okay.
They do eat the bacteria and the fungus that is attached to the plants. So it's the microbiome that is associated with plants.
Yeah. Okay, so that what you have there in your bag is common food waste food that people would compost on a regular basis.
Well, do or don't. I believe, and I would love that every single household would have a small a wormery at home.
Yeah.
Those organisms are so clean. You can actually have a box your bed if you like.
Well, what is a wormery and where would you put a wormery and how would you...
If you're crazy enough like myself, a crazy scientist, you have your wormery anywhere in the house. So wherever you can hide it, even under your bed. If
you have worms under your bed?
Well, I have space elsewhere. But if I wouldn't, I would have them under my bed hiding if my parents wouldn't allow me to have them, right? They're amazing creatures. They're so smart. Believe it or not, they have a brain. And so the current practices have a negative impact on them. I'm not talking about the tiger earthworms because they're specifically made for compost, right? They won't be well surviving in outside environment unless you have a very rich topsoil. They are made from producing compost. But earthworms are often killed by herbicides.
So what we're doing, our practices in general, are damaging earthworms, are
Yes, earthworms and other microorganisms.
Yeah.
Okay, so
which is bad for our soil quality.
If you don't see earthworms in your garden, if you don't see earthworms in your field, that means there's no water available to them and oxygen because they breathe through their skin, okay? And there's no food available to them, which is the microorganisms that we don't see with naked eye.
And that's a sure sign then that we're not doing as we should.
No, we have to change. The system is somehow broken.
Yeah.
And we need to change the way we, treat soils and ourselves. We have to understand that our life depends on healthy soils. This is the fundamental part of our life.
Yeah. And in general, we were discussing this off air briefly, the quality of the Irish soil in general is good, above
depends.
Average, the best?
No, depends.
Oh, depends. Okay.
Well, I have seen brilliant grasslands with great soil structure, good color, great smell, lots of oxygen, lots of activity. Those usually have a management of regenerative agriculture type of mob grazing, holistic management, no dig techniques, so minimal tillage or zero tillage, not overstocking, grazing, not much of zero slurry applications, you name it.
Okay. So it can be much better if we change our ways.
Yes, and I think the shift is happening slowly, but it is happening. And more and more growers and Irish farmers are finding that the system is broken and they need to find ways to improve the soil. But the problem they're facing is there is no ready solution for them.
Yeah. A couple of questions coming in, person, maybe you've just answered that. What are the top threats to soil health in general? You've mentioned some of them, I think.
Using chemicals.
Yeah.
Artificial fertilizers.
Yeah.
And slurry that is inappropriately managed and spread.
Okay. And again, where does Aga think in the world, where is the healthiest soil in the world in her experience and which is the worst? We don't fall into either category, I'm sure, do we? Hard to say.
It is hard to say. Well, okay. I can tell the most rich soils are called Chernozems or Chernoziums, and you can find them pretty much in Ukraine, right? That's why... Yeah. After what happened in Ukraine, we found out how important Ukraine was in terms of food production and feed.
The breadbasket of...
Yes, it's because of the rich soils.
Yeah, okay.
The Chernozem type of soil.
I have another question, and again, it's based on what we were talking about off air. You say we should be completely self-sustainable here.
Yes, in Ireland. Ireland.
And this is...
That's something I don't understand, really, living here, even though I'm not Irish, I'm from Poland. Also, big... producer of food, but Ireland having the climate.
Yeah.
It is very unique. It is a small island and has a great potential for being self-sustainable in terms of food production. And we're talking about grains, we're talking about vegetables, fruit, meat and dairy.
And why do you think we're not completely self-sustainable then?
I think because the focus on the common practices has gone towards dairy. Too much to export food rather than produce in situ and feed the nation. And why the only way to get local healthy produce, you have to go on a Sunday or Saturday to a farmer's market. Why we cannot buy the same healthy food that is going to help our mental health and physical health as well in a local shop? In a supermarket.
Well, some people say it's cheaper in the local shop than they.
That's why the system is broken. We should put pressure on the governments, so the food becomes more accessible to anybody.
Yeah.
That people can afford healthy produce.
Okay. But no reason why we can't become completely self-sustainable in a country like ours.
No, I mean we should be a leading country in Europe to show others how to produce food and keep the circular economy and at the same time regenerate the land.
Okay.
I believe this is possible.
Dr. Agatha, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you so much.
And we hope we'll talk to you again during the year as our series continues. You're a freelance scientist, isn't that right?
That's your
official title.
Always open to collaborations. Yes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Aga Pivovarczyk.
Thank you so much.
I'm nearly there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's ours to protect for this week.
Ocean FM.